This is The Blitz.
Hour number two of The Blitz is live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Action-packed hour number two coming up after a pure gold hour number one, as always. We got a bunch of stuff right now. We got Monday Night Football to preview. We still got some NFL and college football stories. There's one more aspect of the basketball game from Saturday that I want to look at. And then, of course, in about 30 minutes, we have the wedding of the fish. Now, let this be known to everybody that this has been signed up on, and we have gotten verbal confirmation from the bride and the groom. We got confirmation over the phone.
Signed off on, of course.
You could say that Weston did have a lead-in question, as they say in the Big J journalism world.
That's his wife. Ain't got nothing to do with that.
That's what I'm saying.
They want to get married on the radio show. You let them get married on the damn radio show.
They're already married.
Yeah.
On paper.
And you know, married. They didn't want the whole celebration, so I think that, you know, they're not really taking this as their official wedding ceremony. I think that they fully know that this is just something fun to be a part of. But nonetheless, it's an official wedding.
See,
which I will take very seriously.
You should give no disclaimers. This is a live wedding, no disclaimers. They chose to do it, yeah.
We're just rolling.
Makes it a whole lot more interesting.
If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. You got to listen because it's going to be good.
May not like
it's going to be good. 11:30.
Oh, may not like
the
it.
Wedding bells are starting to ring.
Oh, he may not like it.
Yeah, I don't know. This,
well, I still don't know about
this
it.
This is a. I don't know.
Fair point.
Sean Lynch, though. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Ladies and gentlemen, find your seats. The wedding will start soon. But until
please find your seats. The wedding will start soon.
Until then, we have some lovely sports radio conversation to tie you over until then as you're waiting for the event to start.
We have no refreshments. We have no ambient music.
Yeah, none. But we will until then. Okay, what do you want to start with first? I will leave it up to both of you guys. I will give you three options. Number one, final thoughts on the Tennessee game from Saturday. Number two, what does the college football playoffs look like now that Tua Tagovailoa is done for the whole year?
Alabama's done.
Or number three,
he may be done for life.
We can talk about some of the biggest games from the college football world. Where do you want to go with?
Games over the weekend.
Okay, games of the weekend. Let's start with the SEC, because I think that Georgia did something that was very important in order for them to keep their spot. And hell, they needed this one about as bad as anybody needed a win to really kind of make their claim into the college football playoffs. One of the biggest things that we've been talking about was, yes, they did have a win over a top 10 ranked Notre Dame team. But they also had that brutal, brutal loss to, let's be honest, a bad South Carolina team. However, on Saturday, they go into Jordan-Hare Stadium. They beat the 12th-ranked Auburn Tigers. They were up 21-0 going into the fourth quarter of that game. Auburn gets close to making a comeback, but eventually cannot. Brandon, I will turn this over to you first. Did Georgia cement their position in the college football playoffs as of now? And what will happen for them to lose it?
I mean, one more loss.
Yeah, I mean, they play A&M this weekend. I think Georgia can take care of business, but I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, because you don't know what's going to happen in the championship games. I mean, If they lose to LSU, that gives them two losses. Are you putting a two-loss Georgia team in over a one-loss Pac-12 champion in Oregon?
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now, is that you will have
or a
one-loss
Oklahoma.
Yeah, a Big 12 champion. Because I guess Oklahoma or Baylor could, well, they don't have an actual championship game, do they?
I thought they changed a couple years ago, and it's just the two best teams. Because they don't have divisions, it's just the two best teams.
So what you're likely going to have is you're likely going to have Baylor and Oklahoma, the rematch, which is usually Baylor-Texas. But the winner of the Big 12 will be a one-loss team. The winner of the Pac-12 will likely be a one-loss team. How does that compare to, you know, something like a Georgia, who has two losses, but one of those losses is in the SEC championship? It's also an SEC powerhouse, which, look, you're lying to yourself if you're trying to say that there's not some kind of bias towards these SEC teams. Like, I'm kind of in the mindset that a two-loss Georgia would still beat out, say, a Utah Pac-12 champion, but I'm not so sure it would beat out a Oklahoma Pac-12 or a Big 12 champion.
Well, do you think they would beat out an Oregon Pac-12 champion?
No, because you have superstar in your quarterback there.
What if if Auburn is able to beat Alabama now, who is going to be without Tua, that helps Oregon too.
Yes.
It makes their loss look
better. Yeah, because you got to think, like, Auburn's chances at the playoffs are done right now, but for them, I still think that taking away the last remaining hope for Alabama is still a great accomplishment for them, right? Like, if we could take away Florida's spot at the playoffs, we would love that, even if our season turned out a little bit disappointing in the end. But, man, like, I still think there's as much politics about who the teams are going in as much as kind of what the wins and losses total are. Believe that whoever the loser of the SEC championship is, if that is their second win, I fully believe that that team will get over, say, a Utah Pac-12 champion. I fully believe it will.
Well, and also, I mean, if Georgia were to beat LSU in the SEC championship game, I think LSU still gets in. I mean, LSU's getting in. You can't tell me LSU's not going to get
LSU.
LSU
has room for one loss, and they're still in, no matter what. No matter what, their strength of schedule.
Now that would be chaos. That would have people losing their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, people would be ticked off at the SEC as they usually are. But I don't like. To me, that's still the best playoffs.
This is going to be a year that pushes it to eight teams rather sooner than later. This will be the year with all the parity and teams. Somebody's going to get overlooked this year that should be in. It's going to have a nice strength of schedule that probably should have made it, and this is going to be the year that pushes them to at least go to 6.
Well, and
to
I wonder
teams.
Too, like what athletic director, what actual university administration basically go to the NCAA after this and say, hey, you are really robbing us of a ton of national exposure and financial revenue. Like, say Oklahoma doesn't get in for the exact reasons that we're talking about, then Oklahoma is going to go to the NCAA, in my opinion, and be like, hey, what on earth is this?
If Oklahoma ends
the
season,
why can we not just expand this out? Because you are robbing us and a couple of other teams of so much financial revenue and just overall exposure that we are getting completely robbed from this.
Well, I mean, it comes down to you have what? I would say Oklahoma is a real contender. So really you've got, I think, three spots or three teams vying for one spot left in the playoff. Because I think Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU are all locks. I think they're in no matter what.
Yes.
So that would mean whoever the Pac-12 champion is, Oregon or Utah, Oklahoma or Baylor, and then Georgia.
So those
maybe Penn State.
So really, there's only kind of a handful of teams left for that number four spot, but it's going to get really weird in the process. And that's kind of without even mentioning the fact that it seems like Alabama's likely probably done.
Yeah, they're done. They're done. Nobody's putting them in. I mean,
with no Tua?
No.
Well, it's not even. I don't even think it's that. It's just I don't know how they get in. LSU's going to win out generally, and if they get one, they might have one loss in the championship game. They're still going to be in. Georgia would be in. Ohio State's getting in,
but still,
and either Clemson or Oklahoma or somebody's getting that last spot.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I think they take that into consideration too with no Tua. I mean, you have to.
If Tua was still in, like I still fully believe that Alabama would have made the playoffs.
I think they would have had a great shot at it.
I don't think so because like Clemson, Ohio State, one of those teams. Now, if Ohio State lost, then yeah, maybe you bump Alabama in there with their one loss because of strength of schedule. But Clemson, unless they get upset from here, they got South Carolina at the end of the season, then they'll have the ACC championship game. Shouldn't be too much trouble there. Ohio State, I mean, Michigan's playing better. Michigan could upset them. I think they still might get a little bit of leeway with one loss if that was their only loss came at the end of the season and they went out in the championship game. I don't know, man. Maybe they would have taken into consideration. It's something that we'll never know now, but I think that more or less the committee gives you more of a chance. Excuse me, gives you more of a chance when they know your best player went down.
For me, like I would so much rather 10 times out of 10, I would rather see Alabama. And this is not coming from a Tennessee perspective, right? Because as a Tennessee fan, yeah, I would love for them to miss. But just as a football fan perspective, give me Alabama over Oregon, Utah, Baylor, probably not Oklahoma. But over those three teams, at least over Penn State, every single time. Because you know what we've seen from the college football playoffs? We've seen every single year maybe one team just kind of have a dud game. And I've really gone on a rant about this because I hate it. But what happens when you see that dud game is it just kind of lessens the whole playoffs to me. What you've never seen from an Alabama team, you've never seen an Alabama team come out and just kind of lay down or have, that dud game right there in the semifinals. You've always seen a fantastic game from this team. And to me, like I'm not fully confident that Utah wouldn't go out there and just have a complete dud like Notre Dame did last year. I'm not confident that Baylor wouldn't have that dud. I'm not confident that Oregon wouldn't have that dud. But what I do know is that you have teams who go into the college football playoffs and they give you good games year in and year out. Alabama's one of those teams. It's why I'd rather see them as a pure football fan over one of those big or Pac-12 winners. I don't care about the Pac-12. But I know that Alabama in the playoff every single year puts in a hell of a game. That's why I think that the best competition is not always four automatic winners. It's not always the four teams with one loss. You just have better teams, even though we just won't get that.
I mean, let's assume that that things stand pat. LSU stays the number one team going into the playoff. And then, I mean, you can't tell me that you, like, the Tennessee fan in me is happy that Alabama would be left out, that they have no shot at winning a national championship. But the sports fan in me that wants to see a good game, you can't tell me that you'd rather see Oklahoma and LSU in as the 1-4 matchup instead of LSU-Alabama rematch in the first round of the playoff. Yeah,
If Tua was healthy. Yes, the most interesting playoff, if that, you're right, because I'm kind of even forgetting about this as the conversation's going on. If Tua was healthy, the best playoff, I don't care what happens the next few weeks, would have been LSU-Alabama-Clemson-Ohio State. No doubt about it. And now, what?
I was going to say, I think Oklahoma getting there to play Alabama would have been good. Even if it ended up Alabama-Clemson, I think Oklahoma, just Jalen Hurts' storyline going up against his former team.
Yes,
The success he's had at Oklahoma, going up against Tua, the guy who took his position.
That's a hell of a storyline for a game right there. But even then, so you put Alabama kind of into that top five. Like, it's such a weird system of trying to balance – respecting the teams that deserve to be there because they've only lost one time in the span of a 12 to 13 game season, but at the same time balancing that with just, hey, who's going to give you the best games for a playoff? You have essentially three games to for the entire postseason for all of college football. You got to get it right. So who is going to give you those three best games? You know what, man? You can't convince me that Utah is going to give you one of the best three games of the college football season. You will never be able to convince me of that. But what you will be able to convince me is that an Alabama-Oklahoma game like Chance is just mentioning is best for business. That's playoffs. That's story. That's a LSU-Alabama story, a Alabama-Oklahoma story. Hell, that's borderline Shakespearean stories being told. Utah versus LSU sucks. Oregon versus LSU, boring. I don't care about those games. If it's the playoffs, I want good stories. I guess that's why I'm a wrestling fan at heart.
Two things. One, you said Alabama always shows up to play. They got blown out by Clemson in the championship game last year. So, exception to the rule.
That does kind of change my argument.
They also got blown out by Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl a few years ago.
Relax.
Second. Question.
I did forget about that game last year.
Are you all, like, how do we feel about Clemson? I mean, I feel like no one is even talking about Clemson. I mean, we all know they're there, but, I mean, I don't.
Well, it's just because they haven't had much of a challenge to get there.
Yeah, they don't play anybody.
Outside of, you know, Mack Brown and Florida State being on a decline right now and Miami not being as good as they once were. They don't have any real competition unless, you know, occasional. They might have their backs against the ropes a couple times a year, but not much. So they have a pretty easy path. So that's why.
I mean, they're going to have to either play. I don't know who's in the other division.
North Carolina was one of the teams that were. A team that they could face off again. I'll get who they will probably face.
I mean, it's probably Virginia Tech, Virginia, or North Carolina. One of those three, if I had to guess. But, I mean, they're probably going to have to play Ohio State first round of the playoff if things hold.
Yeah.
I mean, are they up to it? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they can score some points. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of them.
Yeah, it's either going to come down to Miami was eliminated this past weekend with their loss to be in contention for the championship. So it looks like it's going to come down to either Virginia, the Cavaliers, or mm-hmm. Va-Tech facing off against Clemson in the championship. I guess.
Do they play each other like last week? Is that going to be like a play-in game, basically?
Virginia and Va-Tech.
Yeah, or have they already played?
I don't know.
It would make sense. Oh no, they played.
Last week of the season.
Yeah, they played the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they played their rivalry game of the year. Yeah, winner will go in that one. Yeah, I mean, like that's why nobody's really. I mean, Clemson's a very good football team, though. Like, even though that they haven't had much competition headed to another college football playoff.
No, I think they're good. I just don't know how good.
Yeah, no, it's just like nobody's really – you're right. Nobody's talking about them because, I mean, their competition – all right, so right now Virginia or Virginia Tech because they each – and then I guess Pittsburgh could maybe get into that mix too. The top three in the Coastal Division, which is the other side, the Atlantic Division is the side of Clemson's own. Virginia's at 5-2. Pitt is at 4-2 in the conference. And so is Virginia Tech as it stands right now, all with 7-3 records overall.
I think for me, like I'm perfectly okay with Clemson being in the playoffs because I still do think that Clemson is a great team with a great head coach with a phenomenal quarterback. So I'm okay with them, even though you're right. It's not necessarily been proven. What has been proven is just their longevity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be.
How good of a coach is Dabo, though? We've never seen Dabo since he's like after he got out of the rut where people were ready to fire him and he was just the middle of the road coach. He hasn't really been stressed or like faced with any adversity. If you think about it, He had Taj Boyd. That kind of got it going for them as far as, like, the recruiting going. They started being a little bit better. Then he goes to Deshaun Watson. Watson gets hurt early on in his career, but nothing like whenever they're – but since then, he's never really, like – he's never had really key players outside of Amari Rodgers go down, and he came back in, like, 4 months from an ACL injury.
Sure.
But, like, well, he's never really been faced, like, with his quarterback going down outside of the one game last year, and the backup came in and played really well.
Now, the way that I kind of look at it is –
I say that because so many people, and I think Jimbo Fisher was a very good coach at Florida State, but so many people talk about now, seeing that he's kind of been average, a little bit above average, that was Jimbo Fisher such a great coach at Florida State, or did he have such a great year and a great quarterback in college and Jameis Winston that just was unstoppable that year?
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, if you dismantle Alabama in the way that they did, you're automatically going to, you know, get that kind of
But they've had coaching, some not so great quarterbacks since Blake Coker won a national title.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, when you do that though, you're automatically just kind of have this perception about you. Yet on the other side of things, like, why is Tom Coughlin not considered a great coach for beating Belichick? I mean, obviously it's not the exact same. And look, I don't know all the detailed stats about Dabo Swinney, but it is an interesting conversation. The whole playoffs is an interesting conversation. I'll be honest. I'm trying to kind of rework. I admit that I was wrong about my Alabama take. I'm trying to rework that in my head. But at the end of the day, I still do believe that storylines is more important than win-loss.
Just so he'll stop accusing me of being a thief, Bear's the one that texted me to tell you that, and he said that you were a moron.
Why?
For not remembering Alabama getting killed by Clemson. That's what Bear said.
Giving him the credit? That's all he wanted. He wanted his name to be drawn out on our show, and you just gave
it
to him.
He has his own show in the afternoon.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What the hell is wrong with Bear?
I have 172 unread voicemails, and I have 6,239 unread emails on one email account, and it is, wait for it, my University of Tennessee email account.
Oh, my University of Tennessee account, now since it's like an alumni status, they changed the password up, and I have to call. Like, if I want to get into it for certain stuff, that, like, people are like, I sent this to you, and I'm like, oh, it's in my university account. I have to call OIT every couple months and get them to reset it so that I can be unlocked out of it.
That's the worst. I'm kind of a hoarder when it comes to things on my phone, I guess.
There are probably very many important emails there that you have not read.
But, like, I'll do the same thing with my text. You see how, like, if I'm scrolling through, like, there's just random unread threads.
Just,
like,
click on them to get it to go away.
Places. Like this one right here. Right, like, why have I not even read those? I don't know.
Like, click on it right now so it goes away.
I'm not going to do it.
Why?
I don't know.
Just do it.
I don't want to. It's like a crutch for me.
Why?
I don't want to do it. Look, it's a system. I don't want to do it.
Wow.
And I have the system in place.
This is bothering me. We should talk about something else.
I'm have OCD a lot of voicemails, a lot
me
of text
anxious.
Messages. The voicemails don't bother me. The text messages don't bother me.
Your disregard for your communication
email,
in your life.
The email is the worst. It takes up all my storage on my phone.
You should become. Goodness. You should adult better, Rick, and check your email every day and clear it.
I do. I try to do that. I have way too many emails. How many email accounts do you have?
Two. My
two?
School and then personal.
You just have two, Brandon?
Two.
I have. One, two, four.
Four?
Four. Got the school account.
Yeah.
I got one that, like, I started, like, it was like my very first Gmail account. It's like a Knowles fan 84 or something like that. And then I have, like, different ones, like, obviously, the work email.
Sure.
For here. And then, like, other various, like, work emails that I had started. So, yeah, like, I got a bunch out there, man.
Huh.
Because you don't want all of your, like, your personal stuff coming to your work email.
Yeah,
so you need a personal email.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a burner email account.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to spam one, right? Like, I have lied about my email address
like, for like,
many a time.
For, like, say, like, different coupons and, like, discounts and stuff. You want an email address just for that.
Because you want the, like, sometimes they'll be like, hey, if you put in your email address right now, you get 20% off your order in store right this second.
So
I'm
you
like,
just have a dummy account
great.
For that.
Yeah, so then I'll just misspell it on purpose every time.
I got a backup. I got a
Works
bunch
like
of
a
them.
Charm. Hey, are you guys ready?
Ready.
We gotta get this thing ready. The people are filing in. I just looked through the curtain. The pews are full of people. They're all ready for the wedding of the year of our Lord, 2019. Between our guy, Weston the Fish Brown, and his lovely fiance, Chastity Cummings. We're going to the chapel. We got a wedding coming up next over the phone. Our own guy, the Fish, gets married. It's a real thing.
It's a big day for Rick. I've never seen Rick so excited.
I'm very excited.
Is this Rick's wedding?
Ladies and gentlemen,
please stand, Brandon.
Please stand.
You don't have to stand. You're the officiant.
You're right. Everybody, please stand with us as we are gathered here today to celebrate what will be the wedding of the year. We'd like to thank the happy couple first and foremost for allowing us as the Blitz here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, to be the ones to host this extremely magnificent event on what is going to be a beautiful day. We will first welcome in the groom for the wedding, our own beloved Weston Brown. Weston, is everything good so far? You may be seated as well for those listening at home and around the world.
Everything is great, guys. We just left the courthouse, so we got everything as far as filling out the paperwork good.
Wow.
And, you know,
now you're just ready to say your I do's.
Wow.
Absolutely. We're here at the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. It's beautiful. And, we're waiting on you all. So, looking forward to it.
Well, oh my goodness. I feel like the pressure is on. Weston, how is Chastity doing? Are you guys, I would imagine that just excitement levels are through the roof right now. There is love swirling amongst the water. How is everyone doing there?
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yes.
Why? Weston's an amazing guy. You have nothing to be nervous about. He is pristine.
It might be the radio more than the marriage. I don't know. It might be the marriage too.
No. Weston. Oh my bad God. Sentence because I think
what
it is.
What are we doing to this poor girl today?
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. The moment that we've all been waiting for. Weston and Chastity, are you both ready for this service?
Yes.
All right. People of the radio world, lend me your ears. Thank you for joining us here together on what is a momentous occasion. We will begin now. Weston and Chastity, prior to this moment, you have each swam a different path, but now you embark together on a shared road. Today we come together through the Fan Run Radio airwaves to witness the joining of these two people. For them, out of the ordinary routine of life, the extraordinary and quite unimaginable has happened. They met each other, they fell in love, and are finalizing it with their wedding here today. Today is a celebration, though, for the rest of us as well, for it is the pleasure for us to see their love take place in front of our eyes, but mainly our ears, as this is on the radio, pretty much only. To be able to participate in the union of these two fantastic people is delightful, and we will celebrate with maybe a couple nice sandwiches in the process afterwards. But I will say this. There are three rings to marriage. The wedding ring, the engagement ring, and the suffering.
Oh, my God.
We hope the latter can be held to a minimum. Up top, Brandon. All right. Well, here we go. Without any further ado, we will proceed. Do you, Weston Brown, take Chastity Cummins to be your wife, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, for richer or for poor, in joy and sorrow, and promise all of your love to? And with that ring, do you take her as your wife for as long as you both shall live?
I do.
And do you, Chastity Cummins, take Weston Brown to be your husband, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, for richer or for poor, in joy and sorrow, and promise all of your love to? And with the ring, do you take him to be your husband for as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Well, then by the power vested in me from God, the Godfather, and all 37 listeners of Fan Run Radio, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride, Fish.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Woo! Round of applause.
I now that pronounce great, you Rick. Mr. and Mrs. Fish.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
We've that done was, it.
That
We've
was so
done
well
it.
Done, Rick.
Thank
really
you.
Well done.
Well, we are very... What does it feel like? You just got married minutes ago. What does it feel like?
It feels about the same as it did 5 minutes ago.
What?
What?
What? Weston! Bad answer!
Bad answer, Weston. Bad answer.
It'll sink in over the day. Like, it's just kind of one of those surreal moments that takes a minute to sink in. But, no, we've had a great morning. It's good to... That was well done. Like, I really appreciated that.
Are you surprised by Rick's professionalism? He also is wearing a blazer suit today.
I saw on the Periscope that he was.
Yeah, he's definitely ready. Brandon, any words for the groom, for the bride?
Congratulations. Hope you all make the best of it. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
Yes,
and
the honeymoon, basically.
Look forward to hearing about this fun trip whenever you get back, Weston and Chastity.
Well,
all right, thank you, Brandon.
I guess Weston, it's time for me to give the best man speech.
Yes, please.
This is where I excel. This is also my time to shine.
Yes,
not yours, wheelhouse. But this is my time to shine. Weston, when I first met you, buddy, you were just a little guppy. Now you're something like a Nemo. And we have found you. You may like Filet-O-Fish, and that is disgusting, but you are still one of the greatest. One of the greatest to ever do it. You keep us laughing, Weston. You are a comedic relief, and at the same time, you are our example of what not to do. Unlike you, I likely will never get married on the air. In front of Fan Run Radio listeners. But hey, we needed somebody to break the ice. Also, I read somewhere, Weston, they say the perfect best man speech should last as long as it takes for the groom to make love. So ladies and gentlemen, please raise a glass to the happy couple. Chastity, although I don't know you, you're a bright, charming, wonderful woman who deserves a good husband. It's just such a shame that Weston swooped in before you could find one. It's strange to be given a speech like this one, because when I was growing up, my parents always told me that if I had nothing good to say about someone, I should just be quiet. But, so I'm the best man. Although, I was picked by default, since Weston doesn't really have any other friends.
It's not true. It's not true.
I feel like that was a simultaneous roast to Brandon.
But in the end, I wish you guys nothing but well wishes, and seriously, congratulations to the both of you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, Chance. That was really good. Rick, yours was really good. Thank you, Brandon. You guys, love working with you guys. You guys mean a lot to me. So it was cool to do this with you all.
Hey, we did a wedding, guys.
Look at us. Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought we'd be
Look
here?
At us.
Not me.
Not me.
Weston, look at us. We are going to hang up the phone on you because we don't want you to be on this radio show anymore. We want you to go enjoy the honeymoon
that
has begun. Weston, we will see you back. Congratulations to you both. Thank you for letting us explore that on our show. We had a ton of fun with it. Look, I'm not kidding, too. Like, that was real.
That's official.
I mean, like, I know the
Thanks,
ceremony.
Fish. Have a good time.
You shed a tear. You're crying.
I know.
He did.
I know that, you know, the ceremony might have, you know, it might have been what it was, but they really did just get done being at the courthouse. Our guy, Weston Brown, is now officially a married man. Wow.
They grow up so fast.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I don't know how applicable that is to this.
I don't think it's very applicable.
But we'll be right back with the final segment of the Blitz. Coming up next. Are we gonna do what they say can be done? Back here on the Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. And let me be honest, guys, I'm trying to process what just happened. I don't really know what that last 15 minutes was, but I was laughing the entire time. We are getting so many people. They just don't know whether to believe if this is true or not.
This was very much true.
And I think that's hilarious, but it was real. Weston will have a wedding ring come whenever he gets back to the show. They just signed the papers.
Let Rick marry them. This was not a test.
No, it was very real. What happened was is that they didn't really have a ceremony planned
or
anything.
And in Colorado, you don't have to have a licensed officiant.
Right.
You just have to you get your certificate, boom, you're good to go.
And you're good. You're officially a
Anybody.
Union now.
Any average Joe off the street can marry you once you get the certificate in Colorado.
Exactly. So we decided that, hey, if they weren't going to have a ceremony, we would support them. But, you know, we felt like it was our duty to help give a ceremony. And we felt like what better way to do it than live on our radio show, like a couple of smart guys would obviously think of.
Well received. Wesley at Wesley Hall, Rick Butler with the best and only radio officiated wedding I've ever heard, followed by Chance Collins with his amazing best man speech. The Blitz is on fire today. Get blitzed.
David says, doesn't Chastity of all people know that there is more than one fish in the sea? LMAO.
I hate that I didn't think of that.
It was a good one.
That would have been a good pun.
It was a good one. Yeah, that was good. Congratulations to the happy couple.
To the Browns.
I'm gonna be out.
Congratulations to the Browns. Meet the Browns.
Something we haven't said much of this year, but we certainly have reasons to say it now. Who was it? Titans Bill came in on the show today, calling us a couple of sheeps for cheering on the Browns.
Yep.
Well, we will cheer on the Browns indefinitely now. How about that, Titans Bill?
Put that in your pipe and
we
smoke
got
it.
Reasons to cheer on the Browns.
Titanic William.
I don't even, like, where do we even go? I'm so just scatterbrained now. We got 5 minutes left in the show. I'm not prepared for it. That was the big peak moment. I don't know. I've been working on my speech.
Right? You've got nothing left?
I have
nothing left in the tank.
No content left. That was everything I had.
Well, how about this? We have a Monday Night Football game.
Oh, that's right.
AFC West showdown tonight. Chargers and Chiefs.
White chocolate Jason Williams turns 44 today.
Who?
Jason Williams, really?
Yeah, white chocolate.
How
former
old?
Kings guard, 44.
Ah, yes.
In case you didn't
44.
know. 44.
Florida lost over the weekend. They lost yesterday to UConn basketball, so that is now two losses for them. You hate to see it for Mike White, who sucks, and Kerry Blackshear, who can go to hell.
Golden State Warriors have also named Draymond Green as their starting point guard.
What?
I'm sorry.
You made that up.
I did not make that up. With the Golden State Warriors missing guard Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and D'Angelo Russell due to injury, regular forward Draymond Green has started at the point guard position Last night he did, and that's apparently what they're going with.
Yeah, hate to see it.
Okay.
You'd love to see that. Can't stand that guy.
Hey, did you guys see the turnout at the Garth Brooks concert over the weekend?
Yes, there was a lot of people there.
A lot of people. Quite
roughly 85,000.
A lot of drunk people. Also, I was getting reports from people at the concert.
Controversy?
This is why I need to get the damn troughs out of there. It was so crowded.
Wow.
And like, people were so drunk.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Women in the troughs.
Oh.
What?
Using the troughs. I'm just saying, it's getting out of hand. Get rid of the troughs.
Are we not respecting the signs of the bathroom anymore?
It's 2019, bro.
Yeah, I don't care about that. It's like, I ain't trying to be at the trough, and here you come over here, and you're going to be at the trough, too. Like, let's just all get a bunch of stalls.
Get
rid of the troughs.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
With what?
I thought it was overflowing.
Oh, it was overflowing?
Is that what you thought?
No.
What?
People were drinking out of the troughs?
No, number two.
Oh. I'm sure that happened. It was.
I'm sure it's happened before.
Yeah, 86,000 drunk people. I heard the concert was a lot of fun. Cold, but most people said it was a lot of fun. What, he ended with Rocky Top? Tuscaloosa Trey was there.
I saw that. That was
saw him tweet out.
That was the video that I had seen of it. That was kind of the way that I was following the concert. 24 years ago today, the Rock made his debut into the WWF.
Oh, that's right.
The World Wildlife Foundation.
Yes, yes. As a staunch protector of animal rights.
Good.
Well,
you guys still been on your Mandalorian?
Oh yeah, a new episode came out last week.
We're gonna start watching this week.
Chance, you should. It is very, very, very good. I'm trying to think of
this is what, 5 years after The Empire's Fallen?
Five years. Yeah, and that's pretty much all you got to know going into it. But it is the cast is stellar. Like, the cast may be the best part of the whole thing. Because you'll know a bunch of the names from it. You'll know probably almost all of them.
We didn't talk about it much. NFL, I'm sure we'll have to get to more of it tomorrow. Lamar Jackson, man. I thought that Deshaun Watson and he were going to have a game of the week. Lamar Jackson is nasty. The Ravens are really good. And
yeah.
I thought Russell Wilson was the MVP. I'm starting to slide to Lamar Jackson. And it's probably likely because Russell Wilson had a bye this week. Didn't get to see him do anything spectacular. Lamar Jackson looks like he's neck and neck for the MVP, though.
So, did you
guys...
Pretty
good for running back.
Yeah. Did you guys see the 49ers Vegas sportsbook scenario yesterday for their late scoring touchdown? Because if you miss this, on the last play of the game, in the Cardinals-Niners game, Larry Fitzgerald throws a backwards pass as they're just trying to, you know, they're down four. They're just trying to get some kind of crazy Music City Miracle type of touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald throws it. Ball pops out. San Francisco, who's already winning this game, clock's already expired, they take the ball into the end zone, so they end up winning the game by 10 on this last-second meaningless touchdown that didn't even have to happen. They closed at a 9.5—the spread closed at the Niners minus 9.5. They end up winning by 10 exactly
with
that last second just kind of crap score.
What you call a bad beat.
Apparently, this was the, quote, worst case scenario of the day for Caesars Sportsbook.
That's a bad beat, man.
Apparently, they just got totally bamboozled on this. I don't know.
Who cares? They got plenty of money.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say so.
They've got a lot of money. I don't think it's a thing so, but yeah.
Brandon, real quick, who is Delaware's mascot?
They are the Blue Hens.
Wow. Unbelievable.
There's something wrong with you.
Unbelievable. Hey, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow, 10 a.m. Be sure to join us. We have got a pure gold, as always, show on deck for you then. But otherwise, thank you for hanging out with us today. We hope you enjoyed the wedding of the fish. We definitely did. All of this will be up on SoundCloud here momentarily. But for Chance Collins, for Brandon Orrick, my name is Rick Butler. Thank you for listening to The Blitz. Talk Sports coming up next on Fox Sports Knoxville.